Welcome this evening. Jude 21 says to us, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Let this word of Christ richly dwell within us as we sing the love of God. Do, since the love of God is shed, priceless blessings on my head, I have made it my own. I will hide it in my heart, that it never may depart. It shall rule there alone. Love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth depart. The soul will glow like Jesus in His tender mercy. If the heart is made His dwelling place, the love of God glows like a flame. Through endless years, it is the same. The love of God will never fail or lose its glory till we see Him face to face. Since the love of God came down, with our love our lives to crown, He with us would remain. Greater love there could not be. Jesus died for you and me. In our hearts He would reign. The love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth depart. The soul will glow like Jesus in His tender mercy. If the heart is made His dwelling place, the love of God flows like a flame. Through endless years, it is the same. The love of God will never fail or lose its glory till we see Him face to face. Number 658, Into My Heart. Oh, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come here today, come here to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Out of my heart, out of my heart, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine out today, shine out always, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I share thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind thy wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never let the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Amen.
The Lord's Supper will be served. If you will, raise your hand if you wish to be served. As we come by in just a moment, please raise your hand if we pass by. Let us bow. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for this day and the many blessings that you provide to us, realizing that all good things are from your hands. We thank you as we assemble around this table to partake of the emblems. We are thankful for this unleavened bread representing the body of your Son, Jesus. We are thankful for his fulfillment of the eternal plan of salvation and being the sacrifice for our sins. May those who partake remember the blessings that come through this sacrifice. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Overlook anyone?
Let's continue. Lord, we continue our prayer at this time to ask you to bless this cup, which represents the blood that was shed for our sins to wash our sins away. We ask that you'd be with those that are partaking of this, that they do so in a well-pleasing manner in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray.
The Lord's Supper is completed, but it is a convenient time for us to take a collection. If you were unable to give this morning or want to at this time, will you raise your hand, please?
It's good to be with you this evening. I'm grateful for your presence and especially of our visitors. We welcome you back to join us anytime that you can. I'm grateful for the opportunity, for your invitation and the opportunity you presented me to work with you this week. And I emphasize work with, because we will be working together in our efforts to improve our worship and our devotion to God and encouraging one another to love and good works. I live in Blanchard, Oklahoma, in the Oklahoma City area, with my wife Cindy and our son Nathan and daughter Kaylin. And they're very busy with end of year activities. And Cindy wasn't able to be with me at this time, but I'm grateful for their support and again your invitation to be with you. Effective congregational singing complements all the aspects of our worship assembly. There's just no substitute for edifying song worship. There's no shortcut into accomplishing it. Someone may think or say, oh, it's just singing. It's just singing. If it's just singing, then those that like to sing, sing, and those that don't care so much to sing may not. Why does this possibly, does this attitude persist? Well, we've kind of labeled it so. We just call it singing. This emphasizes the physical and the musical aspect of what we do. Also, sometimes the way we plan our services indicates or suggests maybe that there are more important things and that singing is just a means to getting somewhere else. Often the songs do, or sometimes the songs do not connect at all with any specific thought or teaching or idea that would focus our attention and help us to draw more into meaningful worship. When Scripture mentions singing, it's in the context of worship, of teaching, and of admonishing. To be worship, singing needs to involve the will, the mind, and the emotions. So song worship is just not singing for the sake of singing or fulfilling some duty. Having the right attitude in song worship is essential. Congregational song worship will improve when every member is involved in that goal. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And one of the ways we speak the truth in love is in our song worship. Have you thought of that? One of the very best ways we can speak the truth in love is singing to one another, speaking to one another. Congregational worship will improve when members have a scriptural and spiritual attitude. God's people are taught to teach and admonish each other in song worship. As we've read Ephesians, the fourth chapter, or that should be probably the fifth chapter, at verse 18. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3, that parallel passage at verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Please note, as we look at these verses, what is the command? It's not to sing. Yes, singing is certainly authorized and essential, but it's only a result, a response to some greater motivation and cause. Under consideration is whether one is filled with the Spirit and whether one lets the Word of Christ richly dwell within them. That's what's under consideration. If one is filled with the Spirit, then he will naturally speak to his brethren in sacred songs and make melody within his heart. If the Word of Christ richly dwells within us, one will readily teach and admonish his brethren in sacred song, giving thanks to God. So the real issue is not whether I should sing or not, or how well I could sing, or even if I like to sing. The real issue is, am I spiritually minded, and does the Word of Christ make a difference in my life? Song worship is the effect, not the cause. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs will naturally flow from a Spirit and Word-filled believer, making melody in the heart and giving thanks to God in song are a delight and a privilege to the child of God. There is a conscious effort and choice and decision made when one assembles. Will I let the Spirit of God and His revealed Word fill my mind and my heart so I can properly worship God and edify His people? If a child of God refuses to sing or dislikes it or finds it a necessary burden to worship his God and to teach and admonish his brethren in song, then he should carefully examine his attitude and condition in the Lord. You know, we're designed by God to communicate. We're designed by God to sing. The little vocal folds are not much bigger than a dime. But look what they can do. Look what they can express. Indeed, God has designed us to praise and to teach one another. Scriptural song worship involves singing with the Spirit and the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and the mind of the understanding. With thankfulness in our hearts to God, as we've read. With melody in our hearts. Also with faith in our hearts. If we're going to come to God, approach God, we must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. With love in our hearts. If we speak, we need to speak with love. If I speak with the tongue of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, a religious noise. Remember, we're supposed to speak the truth to one another in the body of Christ. And of course, joy in our hearts. James just simply says, is anyone cheerful? The natural outcome and flow of that would be sing praises. What are some of the biblical principles involving our attitude in worship? Well, let's consider the principle behind the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11 at 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. When one has the wrong attitude with regard to the Lord's Supper, he is guilty and under judgment. Now, why wouldn't that principle hold for anything else that God has told us to do? Are we no less guilty when we worship in song in an unworthy manner and attitude? I do not think so. The preacher of old in Ecclesiastes 5 warns about the manner in which we approach God when we assemble. Ecclesiastes 5 at verse 1, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Think of that in terms of song worship. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. We must approach God in spirit and in truth. We may find it easy to let the words of a song just roll off our lips without much thought. But worship is intentional. With regard to the heart, everyone can improve. Everyone might not be able to make their voice in tune musically, and some are sensitive about that. But that doesn't matter. We can all do something about our hearts. We can all do something about that. Song worship will improve when each member involves their heart and soul in every word sung in worship. When hearts are filled with understanding, with faith, with thankfulness, with love and joy, the song worship will come to life. There's within my heart a melody. Do-be. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Regularly encouraging one another to sing in spirit and in truth is necessary. And it will help our song worship. But alone, it won't fulfill all that's necessary. There's the matter of tuning the voice. We need constant encouragement to worship scripturally and spiritually. We all need the desire to improve our abilities to worship. It takes a continual effort to improve congregational singing. A song has words, melody, harmony, rhythm, beat. As R.J. at one time said, to sing the words of a song, we must either memorize or read them. Likewise, to sing the melody, harmony, and rhythm of a song, we must either memorize or read the music. As learning to read words helps communication, learning about singing music will help our worship. God wants us to worship in song, and this necessitates learning something about music. This involves words set to pitch, rhythm, and a beat. Some of us have been singing all our lives, while others have had little involvement with singing in the congregational sense. For some of us, it comes so easily. And for others, it's not so comfortable with it. Again, our dear brother R.J., said, it's hard to put your heart into something you don't know much about. Isn't that true? You've had that experience? I know I had no desire watching it on TV, no desire for hockey at all. No interest whatsoever. I went and saw a hockey game and it was pretty exciting. I was interested in that because I came involved in it, saw it firsthand. A little disappointing about all the fighting at the end. They get so tired, worn out from they have to fight. But isn't that so true? You cannot do more than you know. We cannot lead any farther than we have gone ourselves. Someone has to take the lead in helping the congregation in this endeavor. So when classes are conducted on a regular basis, the more capable singers can help others to improve. Now, this present meeting that we're having is a foundation on which to build upon. It's a beginning. You've opened the door. And it's going to get wider. It's just a beginning, not an end in itself. So great blessings can be gained from involving ourselves, continuing what we are starting here. Song worship leaders are necessary in the process. They lead God's people in praise and teaching one another in song. They humbly encourage the church to have the right attitude. They seek to improve their skills and their abilities so they can share with others. Song worship must continually be encouraged and developed through training, or it will decline in its effectiveness. Our tradition of singing in harmony demands a certain level of competence to be effective. Some people don't realize that. We're dealing with an art form. We love harmony. It just seems that's what it is. That's what makes those words come alive for us. But what we're singing is choral music. Therefore, our love for that tradition places some responsibilities on us to make that effective. It's just not enough to claim that we worship scripturally. R.J. wrote at one time, "Some members of the Churches of Christ are more against instrumental music in worship than they are for singing. We have almost broken our arms patting ourselves on the back because we don't use instrumental music in worship, while at the same time put little emphasis on singing as God commanded. We must show by our example that singing without instruments is truly effective and worthy of our time and effort." Tuning voice is needed, but tuning the heart must come first. When one desires to express his faith and gratitude and love and joy in the Lord, he will put forth effort in learning psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Congregational song worship begins with the individual. If individuals are not worshiping, then there is no worship. There may be a lot of activity going on, as there are in many groups. It's just activity, but it's not worship in spirit and in truth. May God help us, all of us, to say this: I can improve. And I'm going to improve my ability to worship my God and encourage my brethren in song. Come, let us all unite to sing. If you're able and willing, please stand for 412. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises ring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. How happy is our portion here, God is love. His promise is our spirit's chair. God is love. He is our sun and shield by day,
Our help, our hope, our strength and stay. Hey, will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love.
I'd like to begin a brief introduction into following the leader and even reading music. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. It's just a brief introduction, a step for understanding and encouragement. Understanding how to follow the leader is essential. What we want to do is what's most edifying and encouraging in our worship. Let's do our best to make our worship even better. And here's a goal that I'd like for you to look at that will help make our worship better. To be able to sing a complete thought with the spirit and the understanding in an orderly manner. I think that's a good goal. To sing a complete thought with the spirit and understanding in an orderly manner. How do we accomplish this? How are we going to do it? Very simply. Start, stay, and stop together. Start on the first word. This requires a leader and understanding his role and how to follow. Now, we're not trying to make musicians out of anyone. That's not our goal. We're just giving enough information that's going to make a difference so that we can be more effective in our song worship. A song worship leader's guide. This is a process by which we can accomplish that goal of singing a complete thought with the spirit and understanding in an orderly manner, an orderly process. It's proven to work. And so I'd like for you to consider that. Some may find this new or different, but it's effective and encouraging once it's learned. It may seem a bit overwhelming at first to some, but that's okay. Taken one step at a time, it can be learned and mastered. So here's the overall picture that I would present to you of leading in order to be able to start, stay, and stop together. If you're using books, announce the number, then announce the title, and again, announce the number and other information that's necessary, whether what verses we're going to sing, if we're going to sing faster, slower, etc. Announcing the title, if you don't have it on the screen, is very helpful because we do not sing, as one brother years ago in Florida pointed out, we do not sing numbers, we sing songs. And so if I know what I'm going to sing, I can be thinking about that as I turn to it. Of course, if it's on the screen, then it's evident to all what we're going to be singing. Next, we have to find out where to start. And we'll demonstrate that this evening. We start with do, and we'll explain that. Next, the leader needs to think about the starting speed of the beat, the speed of the message that he's going to lead. He's prepared that ahead of time. Now he gets it in his mind. He remembers it. There is a ready position. There is eye contact because we're going to start on the first word, not the fourth or the fifth one. Remember, we're going to sing a complete thought. And then we'll be going over and over this again is the wait. That's where we all connect so that we can start on the first word. The wait is the most important thing you could do. Just take your time and wait. Then there's a preparatory breath where we breathe together and we start on the beat on the first word. We continue conducting and leading with expression. The final cutoff, if we don't cut off before, we hold it. We all stop together. Start, stay, and stop together. Then we feel we have done something that's complete. That it was worth offering. It wasn't something that we just kind of slid into and finally ended with. It was something that was deliberate and on purpose. Example. I'm going to be a song starter. We'll sing just the first verse of this song. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then if thought I go to Thee, guarded of Gethsemane. Okay, I heard most of you didn't start until about the fifth word. Would we expect somebody who gave a prayer to do that? Start on the fifth word of a prayer? Start on the fifth word of Scripture that we're trying to read? Incomplete thoughts? That's acceptable? What if we could start on the first word? Would that be more edifying? Would we feel more confident and whole by what we were doing? When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then if thought I go to Thee, guarded of Gethsemane. Start, stay, stop together. How much better that feels. Understanding pitch. We've all seen these syllables, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, and that's basically the tones that the song uses, our songs uses, in different combinations. It's amazing. People keep making up songs, and they sound some like other songs, but they're not exactly the same. It's amazing. The combinations are almost endless. But we recognize those. Let's just sing the scale going up and down, ascending and descending. Do, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. Now, the most important tones out of that, and the ones we usually start on, are the song leader scale in pitching songs. The do, the mi, and the sol, and sometimes the upper do. Okay. Those are what's important because those are the sounds that we're going to start on when we start a song, usually. We have shapes to represent each of those syllables' degree of sound. We have lines and spaces. It's kind of like a ladder that the sound climbs up and climbs down on. Sometimes it goes by step, from line to space, from space to line. Sometimes it skips and leaps up or down. Sometimes it just stays on a line or a space. And we'll discover that in a few moments. Also, we have letter names which are assigned to these particular pitches on the staff, and they are absolute. They don't change. That C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C stays there. But we can move that do and start it on D, on E, on F, on G, on A, and on B. It's relative. And we're just moving it a little higher. We can discover why that's so in a few minutes. It doesn't matter what shape, really, the notes are. Out in the secular world, they just have round notes. They're all souls. So whether you look. But in here, we want every advantage that we can have. So we use shapes. The do is the triangle. the knee is the diamond, and the oval is the soul. And those are the three most important pitches when pitching a song and getting our starting notes. But it doesn't matter. We could start on a line, end up on a space, or we can start on a space and end up on a line. It doesn't matter where it starts, but it goes up and down that ladder of sound. Let's just take a look at this simple song, and we're going to first sing the syllables and kind of watch it as the notes move up by step. Praise to God. It goes do, re, mi. That's just stepping right up the ladder. No changes or skips in between. Now look at love to Christ. Love is on the do. Christ is on the mi, so we have to leap up to the mi. Look on the second system there. Sent from heaven above, Jesus has a soul, soul. There's repetition, so the notes can repeat. So let's just sing the syllables together before we add the words and watch the notes as they go up and down the scale. And those that know how to read this will help us along. Do, just the syllables. Do, re, mi. Let's add the words. Do. Praise to God for His great love. Christ was sent from heaven above. Jesus died on Calvary. So now, if we take a look at the music that's in our hymnal, we just don't do that with one part. We do that with three others. Look at the soprano part. It's up there on top. It's the top notes on the staff there. Let's all sing those soprano parts. That's where the melody is, usually. And that's what the leader is singing. So let's do just those parts together. Do, be. Everybody sing the melody. Soprano. Do, be. Mi, 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 mi. Fa, fa, fa. Re, re, so, fa, fa, mi, mi. Do, do, do. Ti, ti, la, do, la, so, 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 mi, re, fa, mi. Very good. Now, if you've always wanted to sing alto, here's your chance. All right? Let's all sing the alto part. Now, it's underneath the sopranos. So they're a voice that's a little lower than a soprano. So they're naturally, it falls lower. So that's why it's more comfortable for altos to sing below. All right? Here we go. Do, everyone. Men, let's sing the alto. Do, 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 ti, ti, ti. Ti, 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 re, re, do, do. Mi, 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 so, so, fa, fa. Mi, 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 do, ti, re, do. All right, let's all sing tenor on the souls. Do, mi, so, 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 soul, 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 do, 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 la, do, 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 soul, 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 soul. We can honestly say that was just so, so. All right. All right, basses. You've always wanted to sing bass. The best way to learn a part is to sing by somebody who knows it and follow along. All right, let's all sing bass. Do, 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 re, 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 sol, 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 ti, do, 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 mi, fa, 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 sol, 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 do. Let's go back up here, right here. Here's our do. We had it here. Do, sol. Ready? Sol, 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 ti, do, do, do. Very good. Now you pick the one you want and sing the syllables, all right? Do for the altos and the basses. B for the sopranos. Sol for the tenors. Here we go. Mi, 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 mi. Fa, fa, fa. Re, re, sol, fa, fa, mi, mi. Sto, do, do, ti, ti, la, do, la. Sol, 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 mi, re, fa, mi. And there you have all the parts singing together. We love that harmony, don't we? That makes the word so meaningful to us. But now you can see why it's essential to give a pitch that the song is based on, the key tone, before starting. Let's apply that to Psalm 136. And we look here, again, we're going to give do. And who's going to sing do? Basses and the altos. And then I'm going to give me, because that's the starting pitch of the melody. And who has the melody? The sopranos. They have the me. Now, I'm not going to deal with the tenors, because if they know how to sing tenor, they can get their part. And if they don't, it doesn't matter. Just give what's necessary. Do, re. Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind. Let us sound his name abroad, for of God he is the God. He with all commanding might filled the new-made world with light. All things living he doth feed, is full and supplies their need. Let us then with gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind. For his mercy shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure. Amen. Singing a complete thought with a spirit and understanding in an orderly manner. Saints, lift your voices. Do, there is none like him, none can compare. No God is equal, no prince is there. Lift up your eyes and see his great might. Soar like an eagle on wings of flight. Saints, lift your voices, though dark your days. Lift up your spirit, sing out his praise.
Upward the calling, brighter the light, soaring like eagles on wings of flight. Some will grow weary, sin they'll pursue. Servants of God, their power he'll renew. Lift up your eyes and see his great might. Soar like an eagle on wings of flight. Saints, lift your voices, though dark your days. Lift up your spirits, sing out his praise. Upward the calling, brighter the light. Soaring like eagles on wings of flight.
Is thy heart right with God? This song we use is an invitation song. It asks some very important questions. It's amazing what some of these old songs that we've sung for years, what they say. I've been renewing interest in older texts because they really ask some pointed questions, especially like this one. If you really think about it, what we're singing applies to everyone. Important questions. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? The scripture mentions two things that are nailed to the cross, and this is a third one that we're going to do. Can you think of what was nailed to the cross? Of course, our Lord and Savior was nailed to the cross. You nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But Paul says, in doing so, that the old covenant was nailed to the cross. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, right along with Jesus. But the question is, have we put to death our desires, our affections, our passions? Have we nailed them to the cross? What a powerful thought. Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Wow. All things? Paul said, but whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. Does Jesus come first? Hast thou dominion or self and or sin? Good question. Do I have self-control guided by the Holy Spirit? Am I ruling over self and over sin? Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Is this dominion over all evil without and within? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We must deal with things that are without, things that are within. It's a continual process, as we talked about earlier today, of sanctification, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. Another question. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We submit to Christ's authority in all of life. Another important question. Does He each moment abide in your soul? What a powerful question. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's how it's going to happen. Is our relationship with Christ, in other words, is it real? And then, the refrain, is your heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, the red flood, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and by renewing by the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Paul tells us in Acts 22:16. Now, why do you delay? Ananias said to Paul, get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Question is your heart right with God this evening? Have your affections been nailed to the cross? We invite you as we sing this song to think about what we're singing. And if you need to be washed in the crimson flood, we invite you to come. If you need to renew your relationship with the church, with Jesus, your fellowship, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion nor self and nor sin, as thy art right with God. Over all evil without and within, as thy art right with God. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right at the sight of God. All of the powers under Jesus' control, is thy heart right with God? Does He each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Thank you for your wonderful participation and attention this evening. As we've tuned our hearts, tuned our voices, and we'll continue this process throughout the week. And again, this is just a beginning. It's a new chapter in the work of edification and worship here. What we begin this week needs to be continued to reap the wonderful blessings that God has through song worship. Consider the work of edification of the church. What would you describe it as? Well, we've got Bible classes for all ages on Sunday and Wednesday. We have home studies, lady Bible class, men's Bible studies, gospel meetings, online correspondence courses, recorded sermons, recorded classes on the web. Have you ever considered including teaching and admonishing and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as part of your work of edification? and incorporating it more into what you're doing. This is what this week is all about. Everyone is going to be involved, young and old, and all of us in between. We invite you to come back and work together in our wonderful effort. Thank you so much for your attention. Any other announcements that need to be made? This time, we'll remain standing and have our closing prayer.
Will you pray with me, please? Dear Lord God in heaven, we're truly thankful for all the wonderful blessings that you have given us, those spiritual and physical, the food that you provide for us, the clothes for our shelters, for the comforts and pleasures of this world. We're truly thankful, dear Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, and for your forgiveness. We're thankful, dear Lord, for this group of people that meet here at Olson Park. We pray that you will guide us and direct us in all things that we do. Our desire is to serve thee and to proclaim thy name to all that will listen. Help us to edify one another, be benevolent to one another, and spread thy name as we have opportunity, both in word and in deed. We're thankful, dear Lord, for this time that we have to come together in this special occasion. And we ask that you would bless us in our efforts this week as we grow stronger in learning how to tune the heart and to tune the voice and to use it in worship and service unto thee. We ask, dear Lord, that you'd watch over us as we leave this place. Bless us as we go off to work this week. And we ask that you would bless us and bring us back each and every night this week so that we may grow stronger and learn thy word. We pray, dear Lord, for knowledge and understanding of thy truth. And through the knowledge and understanding that you teach us, we pray for a wisdom. Forgive us of our many sins and bless us in our efforts. These things we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.